KXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with the Up North Report. The Minnesota Department of Human Services says it is resuming payments to most of the providers abruptly cut off from Medicaid funding in May. More than 3,000 care providers across 13 Medicaid services had their funding paused as the state rushed to meet a federal deadline to screen providers. The Minnesota Reformer reports the state notified providers on Wednesday that it would reinstate payment to those that had appealed their termination to ensure Medicaid recipients keep getting care. Carrie Guida is the executive director of the Pine River Group Home, which had its billing suspended. In an interview before the reinstatement was announced, she said it was disingenuous for DHS to say they did their job. Sue Shettle is the CEO of the Association of Residential Resources in Minnesota. She told the Reformer the resumption of payments is a recognition that providers that did nothing wrong need to keep getting paid for services. 1 year ago this weekend, political violence shook the core of many Minnesotans with the fatal shooting of Melissa Hortman and an attack on another legislator. A national organization warns that online hate is only getting worse. The murder of Hortman and her husband, along with the shooting of fellow state lawmaker John Hoffman and his wife, heightened calls for an end to hateful rhetoric linked to political attacks and threats against elected officials. Imran Ahmed of the Center for Countering Digital Hate says their new report shows that since Meta relaxed Facebook's rules on harassment and violent language in early 2025, there's been a noticeable difference.
We found that violent threats targeting bipartisan Congress members increased 4 times in the 6 months after Meta made their policy changes, and abusive comments overall, including harassment, tripled.
Report authors analyzed nearly 8 million Facebook comments. In defending its recent policy changes, Meta officials argue there's a need to protect free speech. But Ahmed counters that in the past, other industries faced accountability concerns, and society enacted safeguards without stopping them from operating. Ahmed says until big tech firms look themselves in the mirror, the courts are the best avenue to hold social media platforms accountable. This year, plaintiffs secured civil penalty victories in a pair of cases. Ahmed cautions that a lack of reforms makes it hard for other cases to succeed. Another antidote for all these complications is for people to police themselves.
We have to look ourselves in the face and say, well, is this the country that we want for ourselves? Because every time we threaten or terrorize a politician out of office, our democracy dies a little bit.
Ahmed acknowledges there's no real way for them to know how bots factor into research like this. He says that's because only social media companies themselves know the IP addresses that can aid in making that distinction. He says that's another reason these firms need to be more transparent. Minnesota is doing a better job helping households with kids escape poverty, but an annual well-being summary says education results are still on shaky ground several years after the COVID-19 pandemic. The Annie E. Casey Foundation's Kids Count Data Book again places Minnesota among the top states for overall performance. For economic stability, it's now second in the nation. Alex Fitzsimmons with the Children's Defense Fund Minnesota says the state's version of a child tax credit adopted in 2023 appears to be a force, pointing to data from the first year.
More than 200,000 families and more than 400,000 children benefited from that credit, which is tremendous.
She says delivery of the tax credit makes a difference, giving families the option to receive a portion in advance payments. For education, almost 7 out of 10 fourth graders aren't proficient in reading. Fitzsimmons points out they were preschoolers early on during the pandemic. Because of the lingering impacts, she feels the state should use every resource available to boost access to early childhood education. The Casey Foundation's Leslie Possier says student achievement concerns are a big reason why policymakers can't let up in making sure kids have access to basic needs.
If a child is hungry or if they're in an unstable housing situation, it's difficult for them to focus in school.
Thanks to Minnesota News Connection for these stories. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Megan Buffington, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920 with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.